Weekly Co-working Show, episode number 29. I'm your host, Lima Hayati. Our guest today is founder of The Food Loft. The Food Loft is co-working space and community for food startup in Boston. He also helping Yummy, Caviar, Crowdly, and Alchemista in terms of investment and mentorship. Let's hear more from Adam Salomon.
Hey, Lee, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Thank you so much for joining Remote Office Show today.
For sure. Thanks for reaching out.
How about tell a bit about your background and how you get started with the Food Loft and the idea behind it?
Yeah, definitely. I'm happy to share some background. So the Food Loft started in 2013. Prior to that, I actually spent a lot of time working in food media, cookbook publishing specifically. That was really how I got my start in food. The company that I had joined was a small independent publishing company, but the owner was very interested in finding new ways to take our content and our expertise around food and apply it to food startups, or new business channels, I guess I would say. So we got out, started meeting with different companies that could make use of our content, could make use of our network and our knowledge around food. And really it was trying to find new revenue sources outside of cookbooks. We ended up getting connected with a whole bunch of different food startups doing different things with technology. One was a company called Yumly. This was in 2008. Yumly hadn't launched yet, but they had this vision to become the Google for recipe search. And we were very intrigued because of our recipe content background. So got to know the founder over about a year and then made a financial investment in the company in late 2008. And that really opened the floodgates for us. That kind of thrust us into the food innovation space. We started to get a lot of inbound communication from other startups that were interested in strategic advisement and mentorship and fundraising. Flash forward over the past almost 10 years, my life has been really very much focused on sourcing potential deals, working with food startups. We've probably met with 600 or 700 entrepreneurs at this point and vetted many dozens of deals. And the Food Loft really came out of that early work where, we have an office space in Boston. It's about 5,000 square feet. But we, at the time, really didn't see a place for food entrepreneurs to tap into a community. A lot of them were working out of just kind of standard co-working spaces like, WeWork, et cetera. Others were working out of their apartments or their living rooms. And there wasn't really a great way to connect the community in a collaborative co-working environment. And so that was really what gave us this idea that the Food Loft could play a central role in the Boston food ecosystem. So that was 2013. We've learned a lot since then. We've learned a lot about co-working. We've learned a lot about what the kinds of things that we need to offer. Part of the initial idea was really that food startups are a very specific kind of startup, and there are very specific things that you can offer entrepreneurs, whether that's the kinds of mentorship or the kinds of mentors you bring to the table or the resources you provide them, that a focused workspace centered around food would do a better job of providing than a more kind of broadly focused workspace. And so that was really what we were trying to test, and for the most part that has proven to be true.
About the situated in the co-working space, is it hot desking or you also give the member kitchen space?
Right, that's a good point. The Food Loft, we don't have commercial grade kitchen space. We're not a test kitchen in that sort of way. We do have a kitchen. It's more for making lunch, although we do have a meal kit company here that does recipe testing out of the kitchen. But for the most part, what you're looking at is more kind of we have marketing and sales teams, we have business development teams, we have teams that are working on apps and technology, media companies. We do have
diverse community.
Yeah, very diverse. We do have one guy who's doing what would be called a consumer packaged product, and it's a consumable. But his work here is largely around kind of running the business than it is about production. He has an outsourced production facility that he uses for the actual production.
Oh, so the Yumly, the Caviar, Crowdly, and Alchemista, it's the member of the Food Love?
No, they are actually...
They're so coming to you. Oh.
Well, there's two pieces to our work with the Food Loft. On the one hand, there's the co-working space itself. In the co-working space, we have about 10 companies that have office space with us. We have a mix of open desk seating. We have semi-private offices and private offices. And those 10 companies kind of take up that space. And certainly, we're looking for others to fill that space. And then... In addition to that, we have kind of a second piece of the business that's about mentorship and working very closely with startups that aren't necessarily based in the office, but do, you know, that are part of kind of a virtual membership environment. And then the third, and this is where Yumly and all those other companies come in, is our investments. So we are continuing to make strategic investments, early stage investments in food tech startups. And so Yumly, Caviar, Crowdly, and Alchemista are all companies that we've invested in. None are based in the Food Loft, in part because, you know, we don't require companies to move into the Food Loft to get funding or after they get funding. And so it's more separated, I suppose, than it might seem. But all of those are companies that we've made investments in.
How is it work, actually? The company come to you with the real business plan and you enhance their business plan and or... Is there any requirement for each of the company, food tech company that you invest?
There are some parameters, I'd say, that we look for. So, you know, typically we're at an early stage, I'd say. We typically come in the pre-seed or seed round, but usually we like to invest in companies that at least have some revenue, even if it's modest revenue, because that can kind of prove product market fit. In terms of documentation from startups, you know, the biggest thing we look for is the financial plan, because that really shows how the company builds over time, and it also demonstrates how an entrepreneur really understands their market and can conceptualize how much of that market they're going to capture, how they're going to capture it, and what the growth drivers are. So the financial plan is really kind of a core piece as we do our due diligence in evaluating the startup. The other big piece of criteria, I'd say, outside of the, you know, idea and the company and the traction, is really the team and the founders. You know, who the founders are, how they work together, how they communicate, what their experience is. Investing in startups, whether it's food startups or biotech startups or whatever it is, you know, 90% of the time it's about people. You're investing in the people, and you have to believe that the people are the ones to really pull this off, because, you know, quite frankly, I've never met a startup that didn't evolve their model or pivot their model or something. So, you know, we invest in people more than we do in ideas or in companies, and really kind of think through that process and trying to find the right teams that can move innovation forward in the food space.
You open workshop or you just give the mentorship?
Mix of both. Yeah, good question. So we do, in terms of programming, we do a few different things. So we'll have kind of larger scale events for, you know, 150, 200 people here at the Loft, you know, two or three times per year, where it's a kind of a meet and greet. We'll bring some companies, startup companies in the Boston area in to, you know, exhibit what they're doing. We'll have some programming, like a panel discussion. And it's a lot of, you know, just come see the space, engage in some interesting conversations. And it typically is, you know, 2 to 3 hours on a weeknight. And then kind of farther down from that, we have our workshops. Workshops are much more intensive and hands-on. We'll do those usually around once per month. We typically don't put a frequency on it, in part because it's about finding the right ideas and the right concepts. So we've done workshops on doing accounting and financial planning for food startups, on you know, the legal requirements and setting up your company, and should you set up a C corp or an S corp or an LLC, or, you know, what. You know, we've done others on marketing and branding very specifically, and the workshops are fairly more focused. They're intensive, you know, 2 to 3 hours, usually less than 10 people working directly with a mentor in kind of a classroom environment, where it's a lot of that kind of hands-on work. And then, kind of aside from that, on a one-off basis, we do the mentorship. We have a mentor network with about 25 business leaders in the Boston area, addressing, you know, everything from marketing and sales to e-commerce to product design and branding to, you know, developing your first pitch deck and investing. And the mentors are really there to help companies tackle very strategic issues. They've offered to give a small amount of time to these companies to work on specific problems. And so a company might come to us, one of our members might come to us with something they're trying to solve in the short term, where a half an hour with a mentor could prove really invaluable to them to getting either the connections they need or the resources they need to figure out where to go next.
Oh, that's so cool.
Thank you.
Okay. What do you see in Foodloft in 10 years or 5 years?
I think the Foodloft model is going to continue to evolve. You know, when we first started the company, when we first started the space, it was very much about the physicality of the space itself. It was an office, and we wanted to bring people into that office and have them, you know, be working here. And that's still very much the case. But I think more than that now is looking to expand on two fronts. One, looking to expand this mentorship model. So we have a whole different suite of price points depending on the company, how big they are, what their needs are. But we've recently rolled out something that's entirely new, which is this virtual membership that is very cost effective on a monthly basis and really is focused on giving startups access to the mentorship piece of this only. So they get a specific number of hours per month. And they work directly with a mentor on a monthly basis to, tackle specific issues.
You mean like coaching?
And I think that, yeah, exactly, like coaching. That's a great way to put it. I would think that over the next, say, 5 years, that will become a bigger piece for us. And that will will also allow us to expand to other cities, because we won't be geographically constrained by the fact that the office is only in Boston. So I think that that'll be a big part of our growth. And I would love to see us starting to work with more companies in more cities in a virtual membership type way. And then the other is really exploring partnership opportunities for new locations. I'm not necessarily interested in building out a whole new space in another city, but there are a number of different organizations and potential partners where we could go to them with this concept, and with a template for what we're doing here in Boston, and help that partner build out a programmatic solution to having food-focused co-working and mentorship. And in doing that, we get the Foodloft brand out there, but we can defray some of the cost and resource expense to actually get there.
Yeah, it was fantastic talking to you about the Foodloft.
Great, I'm glad it was helpful, Lee. I'm really glad you reached out.
It was fantastic co-working story from Adam. You can follow him on Twitter at TheFoodLoft. Likewise, you can also follow us at Remote Office Co. Stay tuned for the next episode with Chisel.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.